A part of the doctrine that we teach here at Landmark is the coming of the Lord. We believe in the rapture of the church. We believe that one day we're going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. All right, well, look, I am going to give you a lot of scripture today, and that's so I don't get off point. Because when we talk about something this serious, I want us to stay right on. So we will stay according to the word. Now, I want you to turn, though, with me. I'm going to have you turn to two portions of scripture if you want to go with me. And that would be, of course, Matthew 24. And then we're going to go to Mark 13. But for the most part, everything will be above. But you can share this with me right now because this is so vital, so important. And I'm just going to call my message today, is Jesus really coming back? It's an old, old story. And a lot of people chat about it and say, I don't believe it. Well, I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to convince you. But if I can, I would be glad to. This message today will probably not show those of you anything new who cut your teeth on it. But I am bringing a reminder to those who believe that he's coming back. And I'm bringing a warning to those that aren't sure if you believe that he's coming back. So it's either going to be a reminder or a warning. But whichever it is, I'm telling you, it is full of information. So let's get ready to go there. Because when we go to Mark 13, if you can remember this, just put this in the back of your memory. But when we get to Mark 13... that is talking, when Jesus was talking to his disciples, it was his last week on earth. It was Wednesday, and Friday was coming. Friday he was going to go to the cross and die. He was talking to them on Wednesday, and it was one of the most important subjects that he wanted to talk to them about that day. Now, I will tell you this, one of the last things he did was have communion with them. So we are going to come to the communion table today and pick up a cup and have communion, the blood representing the body and the blood of our Lord. And then when we go to heaven to be with him, it's one of the first things we'll do at the marriage supper of the Lamb, Jesus the Lamb. It'll be one of the first things we do. So we want to honor him today on this last Sunday of the month, but I'm going to honor him also by talking about this doctrine in the Word, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, you ready to read? Matthew 24. Now, if you don't read, at least listen. Matthew 24. We're going to start reading at... I'll go ahead and start reading at verse 3. I know, Kathy, I think I said 1 and 2, but I'll just start at verse 3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and they said, tell us when all these things will be and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age. See, everybody's wanting to know that right now. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceives you. So I just want to stop right there because it is just the most amazing thing that these disciples were walking with him, eating with him, talking with him. They had been with him for 3.5 years. Now they're with him, and they're saying, what's the sign of your coming? He's with them. Why are they asking him, when are you coming back? He's not even gone yet. And so then he goes in to talk about the end times, and we'll cover that in just a moment. But I've got a feeling that they knew, of course, they knew the Old Testament. They knew the Torah. They knew the first 5 books. They knew what the Old Testament says. Now, I didn't count all these, but Mr. Dake and some of the other theologians will tell you that there's over 300 promises of the coming of the Lord in the Old Testament. 100 of those verses, scriptures, have to do with his first coming. 200 of them have to do with his second coming. That's a lot of scriptures about the coming of the Lord in the Old Testament, except they didn't call it the coming of the Lord. Anytime you're reading the Old Testament and you see where it says the day of the Lord, that's talking about the rapture of the church. We call it the coming of the Lord or the rapture. The Old Testament saints called it the day of the Lord. All right, so we'll just leave that there. So many will say today, well, I wonder how close we are to the coming of the Lord. Well, Jesus was very clear and plain to them. Now, when Jesus spoke to them, it sounded like he was saying, when I go away, I'll be back tomorrow. But we know now it's been 2,000 years, but everything is still lining up and happening. Everything has happened just like he said it would. All the prophecies have come to pass. The prophecies about his birth, the prophecies about him dying on the cross, the prophecies about his resurrection, the promise about the promise of the Father coming on the day of Pentecost, all of it happened. Now this is still to come. But Jesus said, here's the way it will be. Here's the greatest sign, actually the only sign Jesus gave that definitely set the time of his coming. There will be a lot of signs, but look at verse 14, Matthew 24, 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. And then the end will come. After this word that I preach and this gospel of me coming to earth, healing and saving and delivering man, dying on a cross for my people's sins, and then being resurrected and going away, and a bunch of people saw him leave in Acts chapter 1. It records that there was a group of people that saw him leave. And the angels of the Lord said, why are you standing here gazing? Just as you saw him go away on a cloud, he will return in the clouds. Okay, so he said, it's this gospel I'm talking about. And this gospel that you're about to witness, when this gospel is preached around the world as a witness to all the nations, then the end will come. Now you ask me, when is that going to be? Well, you tell me how close we are to everybody hearing this gospel, and then I can tell you how close we are to the coming of the Lord. And I would say we're getting pretty close, wouldn't you? With all the modern technology, with the computers, everybody online, with the missionaries, the internet, Christian TV is blasting everywhere. Christian TV is in every little hut in Africa that wants it. Okay, so when, listen, and we have no idea when that's going to be. But after every ear has heard, then he says, then the end will come. Oh, my goodness, church, we're right there. Now, I want to show you this, and you're so familiar, I know, with 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to go here to 1 Thessalonians chapter 13, excuse me, chapter 4, verse 13. Because Jesus, he said, and then the end will be. Well, what's that going to be? As soon as everybody hears this gospel around the world, in every little hut, in every continent of the world, in every nation, then the next step will be the rapture of the church. Now, the word rapture, I know many of you say the word rapture is not in the Bible. I know it isn't, but the word means catching away or a gathering of the saints, a picking up. So Jesus is coming back to catch away his people, to pick us up and take him home. Now, how is he going to do that? He's coming for those that are alive at that time. If we are still living, when Jesus breaks the clouds open and comes back on a cloud, then we will get to go. But we go second, because firstly, those that are dead in Christ, our loved ones who have gone before us, their souls are in heaven, their body is still here, those go up first, and then us. And let me prove that to you. According to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. I don't want you to be ignorant, brother, concerning those that have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God, which will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. He's talking about the dead bodies being resurrected to go meet their soul, their spirit. Verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those which are asleep. Here we go, verse 13. For the Lord himself, not a representative, not an ambassador, the Lord himself will descend. That word means come down. The Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise, what?
First.
And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together. Caught up, that means rapture. We will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So the rapture is when Jesus comes down halfway in the heavens, halfway between heaven and earth. He comes not all the way down to earth, but he comes down halfway to pick his church up and to resurrect the dead. So when that happens and we are caught up into heaven in a flash, the Bible says in the twinkling of an eye, not a blink, not blinking your eyes. A twinkle is much faster than that. So when we are caught up and it comes that we are in heaven with him, then something happens on earth, and that begins the tribulation period, known as the seven-year tribulation. So this is how the lineup goes. Most of us are aware of that and understand that. So the tribulation period begins, and that won't be half bad, because the Antichrist will appear. And many are saying, well, he's here now, and he's there, and he's here. Well, we know the spirit of the Antichrist is here because it's so crazy on earth. He probably is living without a doubt, but he hasn't shown his ugly face yet. But the minute you and I are gone, he will light up, and they will look at him, and yet they will think he is the Savior of Israel and the Savior that's brought peace to the world. And peace will come all over the world, and it'll be so beautiful, and there will be contracts signed with Israel and the Middle East, and all will be beautiful until that first 3.5 years is done. Oh, the Bible is so organized. God is so organized. So he said the first 3.5 years will be peace. And when they begin to cry, peace, peace, sudden destruction comes out of nowhere. And that middle, mid-trib, that's what you hear a lot about, mid-trib. Right in the middle is when that Antichrist is going to show his colors. He's going to turn around. He's going to break every word he ever did. And it's going to be pure hell on earth, if I can use that. And that's saying it lightly. But Jesus did prophesy in many of the old prophets that it's going to be absolute devastation. Okay, so I think that's all. I'll just say, leave that right there. So at the end of the second coming of the Lord Jesus, that's when that seven-year tribulation begins, but the trouble starts right in the middle of the 7 years, or after the first 3.5. But Jesus said, unless that time is cut short, no one could survive it. There would be no survival, but there will be some that will survive it. They will hide in the mountains. They will be tortured to death because they won't denounce Jesus. A lot of things will happen, but I'm not going to get into that area today. But I want us to go back because I finally want to get here to Mark 13. Let's go to Mark chapter 13, and we'll just be going a lot of places, but I love what Mark had to say here. We'll start at verse 19. Let me just let the Bible speak for itself. Mark 13, 19. And we'll read down to about verse 27. So I'm going to read a minute. So please pay attention. I know it's hard to pay attention when you're hearing a lot of reading, but it's so important that you get this. At least write these notes down so you'll have it all lined up. Mark 13:19. For in those days there shall be tribulation such as not been seen since the beginning of creation, which God created until this time, not ever shall be. In other words, it's not even going to be like the flood. It's going to be worse than that. It's not going to be like Sodom and Gomorrah. It'll be worse than that. He said, there's never been anything like this tribulation. Verse 20. And unless the Lord shortened those days, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened the days to 3.5 years. He didn't let it go on for the whole 7. So for, he said, I shortened the days to 3.5. Verse 21. Then if anyone says to you, look here, here's Christ, or look there, don't believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise, and they'll show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, the very elect. But take heed. See, I told you all these things beforehand. Remember what I've told you. Verse 24, this is so important. But in those days, after, somebody underline it, after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars of heaven will fall, the powers of heaven will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and then he shall send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of earth to the farthest part of heaven. Now that is not talking about the rapture of the church. We're already out of here. This is talking about the coming of the Lord. Jesus will be returning, and we'll talk more about that in a minute, but he's going to come at the end of that tribulation. That will be the second coming of the Lord. But look what it says. I mean, this thing is messy. And you know what strikes me as a little bit funny is we could have read like the first verse of Matthew 24 and the first verse, verse 2 or 3 of Mark 13. And you would see the disciples asking him questions like, hey, what's the signs of your coming? And what's this all going to be about? And when are you coming, by the way, Jesus? Just let us in on it. But he's talking to them about all of this, this horrible stuff, like the moon is going to be dark and the sun's not going to shine. I'm going to turn the sun off. I'm going to turn the moon off. The stars are going to fall from the sky and the whole universe is going to be shaken. The solar system's going to act crazy. Planets will fall down out of the sky. And then everyone is going to see the Son of Man coming in a great cloud with glory. And they did not ask him one question. Not that we see anyway. And they didn't say a word. Maybe it's because they walked with the greatest rabbi on earth for 3 years. I don't know, probably. But I'm sure that they knew a lot about what was going to happen. But they were human, so sometimes they just wanted to ask some of those questions. You say, well, I don't know. Did the Old Testament really talk about it? Are you kidding me? Listen, if we went all the way back, we could go seventh man from Adam down through the generations, and you would see Enoch talking about the coming of the Lord. That always blew me away. I learned that when I was a little girl. All our pastor taught us. J.D. White. I'll never forget. It was just amazing to me how the man seventh from Adam, 6,000 plus years away, knew that Jesus was going to return. And he talked about it, the day of the Lord. So I'm going to just have you put up Daniel chapter 7. We'll read 13 and 14. But I want you to see Daniel was talking about it. Isaiah talked about it. Joel talked about it. Malachi talked about it. Zechariah talked about it. So many of them talked about it. But let me just run through a couple of things to endorse what I'm saying, or just prove it according to the word of the Lord so you will see it. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, look. Daniel says, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, who was God, and they brought him near before the Ancient of Days, or before God. And then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all the peoples and nations and languages would serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away. And his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. In other words, he's not a typical king. The earth at that time had a lot of kings, but no one like this king is going to be. His kingdom will never be destroyed. Let's see what Isaiah said. Isaiah chapter 13, if you're writing it down, Isaiah chapter 13, verse 9 and 10. Isaiah says, behold, the day of the Lord comes. Woo, listen to this word he uses. New King James. Cruel. With both wrath and fierce anger. To lay the land desolate. And he will destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth. And the moon will not cause its light to shine. Talking about total devastation. See, all you and I know is the grace of God. We know his mercy, and oh, he's so sweet to us. And I don't want to say this to offend anyone in here today, if you're Catholic or you're watching and are, but I drove past the Catholic church the other day. Holy Cross is near my home. Drove by, and it was 100 and whatever it was outside, 7, 10. It was hot. And there was a whole line of people. I mean, when I'm talking about a line, I'm talking about from the back wall, probably over near Joe's Market. And so I saw that line. I thought, well, I wonder what they're doing. And I get up closer, and when I'm passing down, there was a door open on the side of the church, and there was a black veil. And there was a man down on his knees. And I realized what he was doing. He was repenting of his sins to the priest. And I thought, how sad. And they were just one at a time going up and waiting so they could get their sins washed away. And then go back and do it again. So sad. And I wanted to stop my car and get out and go and say, you guys, look, just go to God, the Ancient of Days. You can just go to him because he's so full of mercy and so full of grace. He loves you and he will cleanse you and he will not hold your sins against you. He'll wash them from you right now. But they were waiting for a man. See, that's the only way you and I know him, is a God of grace and mercy and one who loves us and gave his life for us. But when all of this is done, oh, he's not coming like that. Believe me. He's coming as a judge. See, he is a God of justice. Yes, he's a God of love, but he's a God of justice. And he will come. It says he is coming. Look at that. The day of the Lord is cruel. With wrath and fierce anger. He's going to destroy the sinners. The stars are going to fall. Oh, it will be a mess. And let me tell you this. When the sun is darkened and the moon doesn't go forth and all the heavens shut up their light, it's going to be total darkness. Black, bleak, ugly, scary darkness. Joel 2. 30 and 31. Let me show you what Joel said, just in case that wasn't enough. All I know is I don't want to be here. Do you? Good answer. Joel 2, 30 and 31. Joel says, and I will show you, I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth. Blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of that great and awesome, what? Day of the Lord. Remember, they're talking about the rapture or the second coming of the Lord. The second coming. The day of the Lord. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood. Let's see what Zechariah said. I didn't give you the scripture for 14, but let me just read you a piece of Zechariah 14. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in the day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which face Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two. Listen, it shall come to pass in that day that there will be, listen, no light. The lights will be diminished. The sunlight will be gone. The moonlight will be gone. The stars will not shine. Total darkness. And all of this stuff is happening while it's dark. Is that crazy? Is that weird? Oh, go back to Mark chapter 13. Here's how it's all going to end. This is the end of history. Let me read it to you one more time in verse 24. You could read it in Luke 21 and 25 as well. But in those days after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. One more time. See, it's only verifying what Daniel said, Isaiah said, Zechariah said, what they've all said, Jesus said. This is red letter stuff. Jesus said, no, in those days, if tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall out of the heavens, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in cloud with power and glory. And then he will send his angels. So we'll just stop there for a minute because I want to move on. Remember, I was telling my grandbabies the other day about how long Adam lived. Adam lived to be over 900 years old. Methuselah, the oldest living man, 900 and I forgot, 60 something. Over 900 years. They lived so long. And angels said, how could they live that long? And I said, well, before the flood, the earth sat on its axis in a certain way. But after the flood, the earth was so shaken, it just shook it right off its axis in a certain way. And now we only live to be about 100. And so it looks like, according to this, that the earth is going to be so rattled and so shaken and the heavens shaken that it will turn again. And the only thing after this will be the coming of the Lord. There's not another human to take its place. I mean, this is the way it's going to be. So from the burning hot sun that's going to scorch people in that last 3.5 years, there's so many things I couldn't even cover. Maybe I should have just done a big old series on this. We may have to finish next week. But from a scorching hot sun, the people would run in the caves and cry, fall on us and deliver us, oh God. From a scorching hot sun to no sun, to total blackness. From the moon looking like the blood to no moon. No moon. The sun just goes out. The moon is black. And then there's the battle of the Armageddon. A whole other story. But by the end of time, all of these nations that you saw where it said that the stars of heaven will fall and the nations will come together. We read about that. The nations will come together to war with him. Him being Jesus, and they will war, and we stood there in Israel, and Pastor Wayne brought the word that said, do you all see that valley out there? That's where the battle of the Armageddon is going to take place. And it was acres and acres, square miles of just flat land. And the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that war will be so great that blood will flow as deep as a horse's bridle. And it also goes on to say that the prince and the kings will be no better than the poor man, no better than a pauper. The priest and the people will be the same. The rich and the poor will be exactly the same. There will be not one above another, but if they are in a sinful, rebellious state, Jesus says, and we could read it in the book of Revelation, when this happens, if you are filthy, you will be filthy still. If you are righteous, you will be righteous still. He is coming to deliver the righteous and judge the ungodly and judge the rebellious. And it says that the animals, the angels, will call the birds and the fowl of the air from the four corners of the earth, and they will come from the four corners, and it says they will feed on the men's flesh. Men and women, whether they're a president, a king, an emperor, or a poor man, or whatever they might be, their blood will run this deep, but the fowls of the air will feed on their flesh. That is a cruel and awful day. And to think that it's going to be happening while it is pitch black. Pitch black. I don't even like pitch blackness anytime. Much less when there's a big earthquake happening. See, there's going to be a massive earthquake and the mountains will fall. There will be no mountains. There will be no more sea. The oceans will disappear. I mean, everything's going to go crazy. Not just stars falling from the heavens, but planets all in the pitch blackness. Jesus will return. And the Bible says that every eye shall see him. You know how he's going to be seen? The Bible tells us over and over when it speaks of his light, the word there is Shekinah. Shekinah glory. It's like the sun shining on the snow, that bright. Every eye will see him as he comes down from the heavens with the saints behind him on a white horse. Some say, I don't believe that he rode a white horse. Well, that's all right if you don't. Just don't be here. But see, the Bible also prophesied that when he went into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, what was he riding? Said he was going to be riding a little donkey. What did he come into town on? A donkey. It said to people 2,000 years before, we cry, Hosanna, Hosanna to the king. What did the people say? Hosanna to the king. Isaiah said 2,000 years before it happened, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he looked down at his shoulders and said, I can see my bones. The blood was so gross on that cross, and Jesus was so beaten, his flesh hung from him. And it said, he looked down and said, I see through my flesh and I see my bones. Isaiah said, he will say, it is finished. What did Jesus say? It is finished. Isaiah prophesied 2,000 years before it happened. One day, this Messiah is going to be born a baby. And the sign will be, you will find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. What happened? When he was born, this little baby was born, a king was born. They found him in swaddling clothes, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Just like the Bible said. Exactly like it said. So if the Bible says Jesus is going to be riding a white stallion, a white horse, he's just going to ride a white horse. That's what I'm going to believe because the scripture says it. And it says every eye will see him. Well, how's it going to see? Well, it's not going to be too hard to see. If you've got a king that has Shekinah glory, he is the light of the world. Now he shut down every single light that he ever created. Now listen, if Jesus turned the lights on, he can turn the lights off. The Bible says in Genesis 1, he created the light. Secondly, he created the sun. That always blew me away. First, he created light, and then he created the sun. And then he created the moon. So if Jesus flipped the lights on and said, let it be, then he can turn the lights off. In Texas, they said, cut the lights off and cut the lights on. So if he wants to cut them on or cut them off, he can just do whatever he wants. Now, the only other time it was dark like it was here, pitch blackness, you know when that was? Sure you do. You just can't think right now. It was at the cross. That day they nailed him there. It was dark, the Bible says, from noonday until 3 p.m. And there was a massive quake. And people ran and repented of their sin. They ran and screamed, surely he was the Son of God. So when all these nations have come together and it's pitch black and they've been fighting against him and loving on this Antichrist and now they see that they've been wrong about the Messiah, they will see him coming back and they will see him like a lightning flash. They will see his likeness. They will see who he is. They will see it and all of a sudden, everything will start making sense to them. I tell you, church, he left on a cloud. He's coming back on a cloud. Let me show you, and we'll start pulling it down and wrapping it up right here. Revelation 19. I'm going to read just a little bit here in Revelation 19. I'll show you what we're doing while that's going on down here. You want to know what we're doing while that's happening? Woo, just don't be here, saints. Just make sure all is well with your soul, as the old songwriter said. Okay, here, kids, I know this may be scary for you to listen to. Yes, it's real. But here's what's going to be happening to us, because we're already in heaven. Jesus is going to take care of us. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb, that's the marriage of Jesus, has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Who is his wife? You and me, my dear brothers and my dear sisters. We are the bride of Christ. And it said the Lamb is so happy because the bride has made herself ready. Somebody ought to give Jesus a big hand of love today. He said, I know my bride. She made herself ready with me. She came to me. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You've walked in faithfulness. You've walked in integrity. You have loved me. You've been faithful to my house. You've been faithful to me. Very important, church, that we stay together. Oh, look at that. For the marriage of the Lamb has come. We will have a physical wedding with him. Somebody say amen. You believe it? A physical wedding with him. Look at verse 9. Then he said to me, write, John. He's talking to John. Then he said, write, because blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. We are so blessed to get to be there at the marriage supper. And you know what? He will serve us his own communion. He'll say, take and drink. This was my blood that was shed for you. And you talking about somebody bowing before the Lord. We're going to be, oh my goodness, I had no idea. I don't think I knew what I was doing on earth. And then he'll say, take this bread. This is my body that was broken for you. My healing was available to you the whole time you were on earth. My blood was available personally to you. Oh, hallelujah. My wife made herself ready. It doesn't get any better than that. Well, I've got to show you verse 11, because John saw 19 and 11, Revelation chapter 19, 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and he makes war. Now I need to stop right there for just a second. John said, I saw heaven open. Now, this is the second time John saw heaven open. If we go back into, I think, chapter 2 or 3, or chapter 4, you'll see where John says, I saw the heavens open. And that's so John could come up and see what was going on. Chapter 1, I think. The heavens were open, and it was so John could get a glimpse and John could see. Now, the second time, it's not to let John in, it's to let Jesus out. Amen. And John says, I saw him who sat on the white horse. First he says, I saw a white horse. And then he was faithful and true and righteous. Verse 12. Look, his eyes were like a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. Those probably came from us that we will lay at his feet for any crown that we got. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called, say it with me, it's so beautiful, say it, the Word of God. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. He said, you all have one too, just like me. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads a winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of the Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Would you give him praise this morning, church? King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he said, you ride just like me. All right, I close with this. Let me show you Jesus' very last words in our Bible, that is. Last words in our Bible. Go to Revelation chapter 22, verse 20 and 21. He who testifies to these things says, Jesus speaking now, five words, surely I am coming quickly. I don't think that meant in this whole time, but when he comes, it's going to be very quick. He said, behold, I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me today? Wonderful Jesus. Are you ready to meet the Lord today? Come on and give him a shout. Oh, hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Our time is short, church. Very, very short. How long will it be? Jesus said, when every ear is heard on earth. And we know from talking to missionaries and what they see in other nations of the world and the continents, they'll say everybody has a TV or everybody's got a computer. There's little internet cafes. I don't get as many now as I used to, but every week and almost every day, I would get a letter from someone overseas, and they would go to the internet cafe and they would look up churches and they would ask us to support them. And we supported a couple from Nigeria that we got very, very close to. We did a lot of support, but boy, we had everybody coming. And you just couldn't take care of everybody. But the pastor said they hit us. Why? Because they are going to the internet, whether they're just looking for help or the churches. I'm sure they get the word somewhere because we minister to them as we're talking to them. But I just wanted to remind you today to look for the coming of the Lord. The Bible says, watch and pray that we are ready. Watch and pray. Jesus, help me to always be ready by the Holy Spirit's power. We do not want to be left behind. A few years ago, there was a movie called Left Behind, and you know the history of it. It just went all over the world. So, Father, today we pray together. I pray, Lord, if there be one in this room that is not ready to go with you, they would make themselves ready now. If somebody is watching us on the internet, I know it was a lot of the word today, but I pray that you were able to hear it. In the name of Jesus. We're going to come to the communion table right now, and I'm going to ask you to examine yourself. The Bible says, do not take of this cup and this bread unworthily, and that means know what you are doing when you do it. Know that we are receiving the blood of Jesus and his broken body. Let's not wait until the marriage supper of the Lamb before we receive it with gladness and receive it by its own power. Let's not get there and say, oh, Jesus, I wish I'd known how powerful your blood was to keep me. Oh, I wish I'd known how powerful that little piece of bread was to heal me, representing your body that was tore up for me. We receive you today. Examine yourselves. I'll give you just a moment. Look at yourself. Look at every compartment in your life. Look at any darkness. Don't wait until you see the darkness all over the world. Look inside and see if you see a darkened spot. And let's let him deal with that right now. Would you say this with me? Just say it out loud. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my rebellion. Forgive me for taking things lightly. I heard your word today. and I receive it with gladness. Wash me, and I will be washed. Cleanse me, and I will be cleansed. Oh, how I need your grace, and how I need your mercy. Come into my heart, and may you set up your kingdom forever in me. I receive your eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now we invite you all to receive communion with us today. It doesn't matter whether you've been divorced or you don't go to this church. If you just invited Jesus into your heart and you know the power of this little cracker and you know the power of the blood, then I want you to come and receive with us. Would you just come to the table and pick up your little emblem there? Just come. You all over here, just come. Distance yourselves. Come on, you all just come over and get a cup and take it back to your seat. Now you've got to flip that little top back to get your cracker. And you'll flip the rest to get the juice.
He's coming soon. With joy we welcome his return. It may be long, it may be night or noon. We know he's coming soon.
As we look into the word of the Lord, oh, I love to find the scriptures that verify what we do. I just heard from Loretta that their sweet daughter Teresa, is it brain tumor? Teresa has a brain tumor. She'll be taking radiation. So, Retta, our prayers with you. Teresa, if you're watching, our prayers are with you. And I asked Loretta to get another cup and drink and eat together. Mom and Dad, you eat for her today and believe God for her deliverance. And you do the same. Would you do it this morning? Let me read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one. One bread, one body. For we all partake of that one bread, Jesus. We are the body. We are one bread. He is the body for our healing. So take this bread and eat today for the healing of your body, your soul, your emotions, and your spirit. Lord, we bless this bread that we eat today and remember your death until you come. Amen. Would you just say thank you, Jesus, for your broken body? Thank you, Lord, for your broken body. I thank you for your healing, Lord, throughout our bodies, from our brain all the way through our bodies, Lord, our lungs, our hearts, our legs, our feet. For Teresa, may that brain tumor disappear now, shrivel to nothing in Jesus' name. May the glory of God fall upon this bread that we just partook of. Then they took the cup. The Bible says in verse 16 of 1 Corinthians 10, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Oh, observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifice partakers of the altar? You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. No, we're partaking of the Lord's cup and the Lord's body, and we are eating at the Lord's table today. In Jesus' name, let your church say amen as you drink in faith. Amen.
Surround me.
To have all of you in the house with us today. So good to have you at home. We bless you in Jesus' name. And I pray that you took notes today and you will keep this, I hesitate to call it a common word, but it's common, but one of the most powerful words you will ever hear in your ears. One of the most powerful warnings and reminders we will ever hear on this earth. Father, we love you. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us these warnings. Thank you for talking to your disciples and talking to us at the same time. Way down through the eons of time, you're still talking to us. Lord, we love you. I want to thank you that I've been called. I thank you for that calling, Lord. I honor it. I am so blessed and humbled to be able to carry your word to your precious people. Amen. Well, may the Lord bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, may be gracious to you, and may turn his face toward you and give you peace. May he restore healing and health, deliverance, finances, anything you have need of. May he load you daily with benefits. They're yours for the taking. And may you eat his daily bread. Amen. God bless you. I love you guys.